This podcast is brought to you by Upcase. Improve your development skills by completing coding exercises that are peer-reviewed by real humans. Learn more at upcase.com.
Giant robots smashing into other giant robots.
This is the Giant Robots Smashing into Other Giant Robots podcast, the weekly podcast where we discuss the design, the development, and the business of great products. And joining me today is Ben Orenstein. Welcome back to the podcast, Ben.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be back home.
I've been trying to keep your seat warm while you were away.
It's rather toasty, actually. Thank you for that.
And so today I thought we'd have you back and I'd officially hand the regular hosting microphone back to you. And we'd discuss what you've been doing for the past 3 months or so.
Yeah, that sounds great.
So what have you been doing for the last 3 months or so?
I've been doing a lot. I think most notably is sort of what I did most recently, which is I went to Denver for a month and taught at the Turing School, which is a Ruby/Rails school in Denver, probably all evident from what I've said already. And I was helping out the staff. I've been friends for a while with Jeff Casimir, and he has been we've been talking about me going down there for a while, and so we finally made it happen, and it was a blast. Really enjoyed it a lot.
How many students are in Turing right now?
When I was there, there were about 60,
yeah.
And right around when I left, they had taken a new cohort, and I think they're about 80 now.
Yeah, it's a really big, lot of kids, a lot of students. they're not all kids.
Yeah, exactly. Mostly adults. Yeah.
And so what was your schedule like when you were working with them?
So they had a standing meeting at, I think it was 8:30, 8 or 8:30, which is a lot earlier than our stand-up at 10 o'clock. And so I was getting up pretty early.
Wait, you were going to that?
Yes, I went to it. I often skip the stand-up here because 10 o'clock is too early for me, but somehow I made it to the 8:30 stand-up slash sit-down meeting.
This changes everything, Ben.
I think it was the altitude. It just became easier to wake up or harder to sleep. One of those two, I'm not sure. But I made that work, and I wasn't teaching a lot of like official classes, so a lot of the instructors there were teaching like a number of 3-hour, 2-hour classes per week. I was sort of doing more ad hoc teaching. Making myself available for questions, doing code review for people, teaching sort of short 1-hour things when I would sort of notice that there was seemed to be a knowledge gap. Like, hey, I think I can help out if I taught a class on Enumerable and like specifically Inject, or if we spent some time like actually TDDing an application from scratch, things like that. Just trying to make myself generally useful.
Cool. I want to talk more about Turing later on, but let's give an overview first and then dive in. So, what else did you do while you were away?
So before that, I was doing sort of a lot of travel. I made a list of places that I wanted to go where I had friends that were domestic, because international travel is a little bit of a pain. So I did some traveling within the U.S. Where's my first thing? I think first I went to New York, visited Edwin, who is a former designer from Thoughtbot, now works at Genius over there, recorded a podcast with their CEO, which went out. Spent some time in Portland with my buddy Chris Hunt, who's been on this podcast a couple times. I think I recorded a podcast out there with him as well. I'm trying to keep people sort of roughly up to date with what was going on. Did some talks as well. Gave a talk at PDX Ruby when I was out there. Gave a talk at Denver RB when I was in Denver. So trying to just keep doing some of the things that I like to do, which is basically hanging out with people I like, writing interesting code, giving talks when possible, recording podcasts. So it's kind of like I was doing 20% of the things I normally do with Thoughtbot, or 30%, something like that. And but just with more free time in between, I guess.
Yeah, so let's tell people how it sort of went down and the logistics of it. So first of all, why did you start thinking that this was something you wanted to do?
I have this sort of internal clock that goes off every 18 months where I want to like mix up what I'm doing in my life. And so in the past, that has meant that like basically every 18 months I change jobs. Fortunately, I've been able to find enough flexibility at Thoughtbot that I've had 2 18-month periods show up. First one, I went from being a consultant to running Upcase. And then I had spent about 18 months on Upcase when I just sort of had that thing go off again. And I was like, you know, what if I tried something crazy, like take a bunch of time off and see what I would do with it and what would happen? And so I sort of came to you and said, hey, I was thinking about taking some like a sort of extended time period off. And you were like, yeah, okay.
Right. Well, what I actually said was like, why does it need to be completely time off? Right. Because a lot of the things you said, you were telling me you wanted to do, was like, you're doing that already as part of Thoughtbot, and you should just continue to do that. Like, it doesn't need to be this completely black or white thing.
Mm-hmm. Right, which I think was a good insight, because it really wasn't so much that I wanted to do, like, no work. And, in fact, on the days where I was just, like, very unstructured and didn't do any specific things that were kind of programmery or, like, career-related, I was not as happy.
Mm-hmm.
It was more that I guess I want a little more free time around the edges, and also just a sense of, like, change happening. Like, I spent 10 days in Portland, and, like, that was different. And spending a month in Denver, like, kind of building, a mini life while I was there, like, that was just, like, exactly the kind of, like, difference that I wanted in my day-to-day. That kind of shook me out of that, like, okay, I need to change things up feeling, and kind of actually got me back to a place where it was like, okay, I'm kind of ready for, like, normalcy now. It's been a lot of unstructured kind of open time, and now I'm ready to sort of go back to a normal schedule and seeing people regularly.
Right. So you originally thought that you would just be taking the time off entirely, and I think you knew that you were going to teach at Turing. So in terms of what you originally thought the financial situation might be, I'm assuming Turing paid you for the time.
They didn't.
Oh, okay.
I volunteered at Turing.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, when you originally came to me, you expected to take an extended leave and not be paid.
Right.
So had you just been working to position yourself to be able to do that, or how did that work?
Yeah, I've always kind of, or I guess for the last 5 or 6 years, I've sort of been a saver, I guess. Financially, it was something that I knew I could swing for at least, you know, a little while and not worry about it too much. So I guess it was just saving the pennies and putting them away. And it sort of came down to, I was like, I can make this work logistically and financially right now. So I want to try it. But yeah, so I was surprised by our conversation, because I walked into it expecting, like, you know, we'll say, okay, let's take 3 or 4 months and I'm sort of on my own. And what came out of it was different. Are we talking about this? Like, do you want to talk about the details? Can I talk about the details? I'm okay with it.
Yes, I think it's okay to talk about the details.
Okay.
Yeah, as long as you're comfortable.
Yeah, okay. Totally.
Yeah, so what I said was, you know, we have a policy at Thoughtbot. We pay 100% of the travel expenses and conference expenses when you're speaking. Whether you were doing that during your off time or not, you're still representing Thoughtbot and doing the exact same thing. So I said, if you're going to places and you're doing these things and you're speaking, it should just fall within the normal conference policy that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll continue to pay for that. And then we just said, let's be reasonable about the rest of the time that you spend and keep
right.
track of it. And if you record a podcast, or you visit one of our offices and work there for a little while, which I don't think you really ended up doing. But just, you know, let's keep track of that and sort of settle up when it makes sense, probably at the end.
Yeah, and that was, I was surprised by that, but it also seems pretty reasonable. Like, there were a lot of things I did that, and you sort of put it like, you know, when you go places and you do good things, people know who you work for, and so, like, it comes back to us and benefits us in a way. And I agree with that. So I thought it was actually a very reasonable position to take, and surprisingly positive for me.
Yeah, and the reality of the situation is that as an employer, it's not the worst thing to have someone go on unpaid leave. You know, it reduces expenses, and as long as the work is covered, it's okay. So given that, it's actually reasonable to strike a balance there and say, you know, this is actually cheaper than it would be if you were continuing to work and doing all of these things as well.
Totally.
So it's, you know, just try to be reasonable. I think finances aside and logistics aside, I think what I also said to you was, I want Thoughtbot to be the kind of place that someone will stay at for a long, long time, and that's flexible enough to make that happen.
Absolutely. And everybody says that, but I feel like you actually deliver on that pretty very consistently, more than I hear about anywhere else. It's easy to sort of, like, say those things, but when it comes down to it, to not actually do that much about it. But so far, every time I've, like, hey, I have this crazy idea, like, I want to start this Upcase thing, I want to work 4 days a week, I want to take 3 months off, it's just always kind of like, yeah, all right, I think we can make that work. And it's huge, because I wasn't at the point where, like, it was like, I need to do this leave or quit, but I could see myself getting to that point with another company, right? Like, if you, like, hey, I want to take some leave, and they say no, and then, like, you know, maybe 6 or 7 or 9 months later, you're like, you know what, I've just had it, I have to leave now, and I'll take my leave in between jobs, and you lose somebody good that way.
Yeah, and I've been talking a lot lately internally and and I hope to manifest it more externally in blog posts and everything, about this whole concept of that there's not ulterior motives at Thoughtbot, that we've intentionally, we don't have business people or finance people, you know, that to the extent that we're able to, we've outsourced everything so that we can just have designers and developers, so that everyone's motivations are the same. And, you know, I'm a developer. I'm motivated by the same things. And so my job has recently changed. I've come off of Upcase completely. And I've been doing Thoughtbot for almost 12 years now. And so I made the quip, you know, that there's a reason why this can happen. It's because you continually change, you continually grow. That whole 18-month cycle, I think my cycle's quite a bit longer than 18 months, probably. But it's still there. It's still, I think, you know, it's atypical in today's business environment, in today's development environment, to be at the same place for a long, long time. Yep. And I think if you're going to do that, you need to be the kind of, you need to be at the kind of company that will be changed and flexible, but also I personally think you need to push. I think you need to push and say, here's how I'm feeling now, and I'm going to take action about this within the confines of where I'm at.
Yeah, I think the pushing part is important. I think a lot of people sort of get frustrated or bored, and they don't try to fix it first. They sort of assume that it won't get fixed.
Yeah. I don't want to get too specific because I don't want the person to take offense, but I did an interview recently with someone, and part of the interview is code review. We bring up their code and we talk about what went into it, what decisions they'd make differently, that kind of thing. And the code was not great, which is not necessarily in and of itself a problem, because there are so many constraints when you're writing an app that, you know, can do it. But when I said, like, why is this way? Why can this be nil all the time? Or why is this not a restful action? Just named this way. The response was, that's a good question. I didn't, you know, this is just the way it was given to me. Or there was just sort of all these excuses for why it was external factors or why it wasn't made better by this person. And so, you know, I ended the interview nicely and everything, and then followed up with that this person would not be a good fit for Thoughtbot. Because just in that code level, it's the same thing in terms of life and what makes someone successful at Thoughtbot. It's not accepting the way things are given to you or the status quo. And that manifests itself in everything from what we do as a company and the way that we handle ourselves and our careers to like not being okay that this is not a non-restful controller.
Right.
Like, and it doesn't matter what the constraints of the product, like those are almost always self-imposed and made up. And so you should be pushing back and you should be saying to yourself, and it's probably push back against yourself, saying, I need to figure out why this is, like, this can't just be a create action.
Yeah, this reminds me, when I was at the touring school, overall, I was like very impressed with the students. I thought they were awesome. But there was one theme I saw that was like very frustrating to me was I would be doing a code review on their app and I'd say like, why is like this method's like pretty long, right? And they'd be like, oh yeah, but like I didn't write that.
Right.
And I was like, right, but this is your code. And they're like, well, yeah, but I focused on the whatever piece. And it was just, they lacked a sense of ownership over the whole. Which was kind of like drove me crazy. Like it was like every time I pointed out something, like, oh well, here's why that's not my fault.
Right.
And I was like, it's all your fault.
Right.
This is all your code. You own every piece of it. Like, and even if you're thinking in your head, well, that was someone else who wrote that, so like, I shouldn't take the blame. Like, just accept it. Like, take the feedback and then go fix it. Like, take some responsibility.
Right. Yeah, and I don't think anyone's perfect in this regard. You know, we've worked together for a while on Upcase, and you know, we have differences of opinions. I always try to be, you know, we talk a lot about this in our code review guide and everything. I always try to be quick to admit that, you know, what the factors are that went into that decision and that I'm either right or wrong, and argue a point if I want to argue a point, but always defer to group ownership and trying to make things better.
Totally. I had a really good experience yesterday, actually, where I refactored part of the code. I introduced a null object, And it ended up being that the null object was actually only useful in the test environment. It was never going to actually be used in production. And so I actually wasn't totally sure if this was a good idea. And I opened up a poll and went back and forth with Joelle for a while. And like, there's like 15 comments of us are like basically in a chat back and forth about this idea. And I ended up closing it and not merging it. And it was like that kind of feedback and pushback, I think, is like so essential for like keeping code quality high. Like, you have to be willing to push back on someone's idea and be willing to get that, like, accept that pushback yourself and be like, you know what? Okay, I hear your points. That's a good point. Let's not do this.
Right. And willing to throw something away that you've worked on.
Yeah. I'd rather throw it away than have the quality go down over time.
Right. Yeah, and so for me, that not only applies to code and products, but
people
to my life and people and business
people
and everything.
Yeah. So you were saying that it's important to us to not sort of accept the status quo. And it's true. Like that's one of the things that I think is actually best about working here is that there's a strong sense of like, can we do this better? All the time. That's kind of like a repeated question. Like, we have a Trello board full of research ideas. There's probably over 100 cards on there that are just like different ideas to try on the next app we make. And it's like, or different things to try in dot files and things like that. And people are weighing in and pushing back and agreeing. And there's a sense of like, let's constantly be experimenting and making our approach better.
Right. And that research board isn't limited to just technical things either. I mean, there was famously a research card for leaving the lights off in the office. And people talking about whether it was better to leave the lights on or not, and then deciding that they were going to experiment with leaving the lights on for half the day and turning them off, leaving them off until noon, I think, and then turning them on at noon. You know, it's that kind of stuff. It's just like always trying to do it in a thoughtful way, like change and improve. Mm-hmm.
That's why we're called ThoughtBot.
We have ones for the chairs we use. You know, we're experimenting with this. Like, most people have standing desks, or everyone has standing desks. Most people stand part of the day, and there's this chair that is more like a sort of pogo stick chair that you can lean on when you're... And like, that went through a research card so that people can learn that it's being tried out in other places and then say, like, I'd like to try this too, and then give their feedback on it. And then, you know, things get to the point where it's like, yeah, this is better. There's a consensus that it's better. You know, we got several of them for the different offices when that was the case. I think sometimes that can be frustrating to people, that constant change or constant thing. And you do have to be careful that it's not churn. And sometimes I think externally, particularly, people can see it as churn. So for example, we recently changed from our guide from just using single quotes when you don't have string interpolation, but when you do use double quotes, to use double quotes everywhere. And we did that probably about 6 months ago. We changed that. And those kind of changes, they have big ramifications in the code. They have ramifications now. We have a style checker, Hound. It had ramifications in that. So now if I'm not sure what the standard is, and I do something different, because we also have a guide where you're not going to, you know, the minute we change to using double quotes, that's our new style. That's only on new things going forward. It's not, you know, we're not going to go back and completely change all the quotes in every single app that we have. Things like that. I think I'm trying to pull back to a bigger point than the little one about quotes, but like, you have to realize, like, you should be continuing to push forward. You're going to like upset the apple cart a little bit. And it's important to change and push, but you need to strike a balance there. Like, you shouldn't be burning bridges. You shouldn't be tearing stuff down that was successful in the past just because you're doing something a little bit differently and in a way that you believe is better now. There is a balance to be struck there. And if you back churn, like tear things down that you did previously, you won't progress as much as you will as just continuing to push forward.
I think it's easier to sell that change too.
Yeah.
Internally, it's like, okay, well, for new things, we'll do this, but don't, like, we're not going to go on some crazy mission to go upset everything that's already been created.
But we talk about it. So, like, on Upcase, that is our longest running Rails app. I think it's been 5 years now.
Because it didn't used to be Upcase. Upcase isn't quite that old.
It was Learn before that, and a workshops application where people could register to take our workshops. That's how it started. So it's been a continuously running Rails app since then. And we made the conscious decision that we will follow the style guide, and whenever we touch code, we'll update it to the current practices.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually not typical of the way that we approach things. But I think we did that because we realized that it was important, because we were working on the app and getting into these areas where the code was clearly out of date from like 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we saw the practice of a long running app where you don't continually push it, continually update it. And I think we decided as a team that we would, whenever we touched, we would update.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's generally gone pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Also, I deleted 1,000 lines out of Upcase yesterday, so I'm pretty happy.
Cool.
Yeah.
What'd you delete?
Legacy trails.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. So like everything else in the app, there's been multiple iterations of different ideas. So we had this old idea of trails, trails being like a series of steps you do to learn something, learn a particular topic. And so we sort of had two implementations of trails simultaneously in the app, because we came up with a new way of doing it that we liked better. And it was sort of an experiment. So we kept the new and the old around in case we wanted to go back to those, I guess. And I just yesterday was like, all right, we're getting rid of these. So I got to do my favorite thing, which is delete a whole bunch of code.
Good.
So speaking of changes and like changing the job every so often, you are going to be making a change soon, right?
Yeah, I'm going to go to London for a couple months this summer to help start Thoughtbot office there. Which I think hasn't been formally announced yet either. Yeah. So we're breaking news here. Woo! On the podcast. So yeah, my whole family is going to go. We're going to change it up. We're renting a house in London and going to go. We'll be there for about 2 months, mm-hmm. get things off the ground. And, you know, coming off of Upcase, feeling like I just needed a change, wanted to do something different, be in a different spot for a little while, I think is very similar to what you were feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really fortunate that we're planning on opening an office in London and take that opportunity to do it while the kids are out of school for the summer.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to drink a lot of tea and watch rugby and whatnot? You're going to blend with the locals?
I think I have to.
Yeah, I mean, I skied in Denver, so that's like, you just kind of got to do it.
Yeah. And there's a lot of other just change, you know, going on that I wanted to push through it. And I think that that's why coming off of Upcase, just completely sort of cold turkey was really important, because I've been working on that for, you know, workshops and Learn and Upcase now for a long, long time, 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So forcing myself to come off of that and focus on these other things that we're doing. So we're opening other offices this year, several more. And so I really wanted to focus on that. And the other thing, as I talked about internally at our company summit last year, was that we want to open these other offices to bring Thoughtbot to more people, to make the company more exciting and diverse and all that. But we don't want to do it at the expense of changing what the company is.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've seen a lot of competitors and other companies, as they get bigger, change, and not for the better.
Mm-hmm.
And we were really at a sort of turning point where we had used up all the headroom, the operational headroom of our outsourcing providers in terms of accounting and financing and all that stuff. And just operationally, like the number of things that happen at Thoughtbot on a daily basis, both financially or operationally, were just, you know, really high.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as designers and developers, first of all, we don't have experience in that. But also, you know, we didn't want to change the company to accommodate that. And so the traditional path would have been to like bring on an operations person or to bring on a finance person or something like that, mm-hmm. onto staff. And we sort of put a stake in the ground and said that's not what we want to do, because of what I was saying before. I think it will change. It gives someone a seat at the table who has different motivations than being a great designer or developer,
mm-hmm.
working with a great team and building great products.
Yep.
So that was the concern, that if we brought someone on, there'd be someone pulling us in directions that we weren't happy with. And it would be much harder, for example, for us to sit down and have a conversation about your leave and make the decision that we did.
Mm.
And I think that's a good example of the kind of thing that we don't want to lose.
Hmm. Yeah. It was interesting to me when I applied, I think when I joined Thoughtbot, there were like 15 people or something around there. plus mm-hmm. or minus a couple. And I remember thinking even then that it was interesting and great, but weird that you were still writing code. Like, you were still actively developing software all the time, even at that size. And it's kind of amazing that that's still the case. Like, now we're 115 or something, somewhere in there, right? And you still are mostly, like, you're still writing code all the time, maybe less with a London thing, but still, like, very much a developer.
Yeah, I think it's really important. Well, first of all, it's important to me, but I think it's important to the company, you know, and this is part of it. We realized that instead of adding business people or whatever, we should leverage our experience as designers and developers who can solve problems and use our development skills to solve problems. And that's what we're doing. So that's what I'm working on now, you know, revamping our hiring. I do all the hiring and writing code to make that better, make that smoother, use our product design skills of how to build great things for Thoughtbot itself. So we're doing a lot of architecting our sales funnel and those kinds of things, writing code to support that.
Mm-hmm.
And I fundamentally believe that, like, the duties of a CEO, like creating partnerships and creating business value and all that stuff, mm-hmm. it's really not important. And so I think it's actually healthy to have the constraint that you're really going to try to segment that time into a couple days a week and prioritize the design and development tasks that you want to do and that role.
Mm-hmm.
Prioritize that so that you don't compromise on it is actually really healthy. I think it makes you make better, smarter choices about where you're going to spend your time, because those non-technical roles, just in the same way that programming does, it fills the time you give it. It expands to fill the time you give it. Mm-hmm. Same is true with CEO duties. Like, if I had nothing to do all week and just except CEO stuff, I would find things to do. Mm-hmm. I would find partnerships to make. I would find, like, business things. I would start meddling in other people's things, maybe even more than I do now. And I think it's healthy to have those constraints.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, do you hope to continue those for years? Keep going, just pushing like that?
At this point, I don't have an option. I'm unemployable. I have no other game plan. This is it. Like, we're not planning on selling Thoughtbot. I'm not planning on leaving. I've been at this for almost 12 years, and one of the reasons why we started to grow was because I was starting to feel like this is what it is. If I'm not working, I'm not going anywhere else. So I'm looking at, if we're not growing and changing, then I'm really looking at what I'm going to be doing for the next 10 years when we're coming up on a 10-year milestone. It's like,
yeah,
okay, what am I not happy with? And the feeling that we weren't pushing, that if in 10 years we were 20 people just in Boston, that wasn't something that had the impact on the world that I wanted to have and that would make me proud.
Mm-hmm. I remember asking you, like, about a year ago, it's like, what would you do if you had to sell Thoughtbot? And you're like, start another consultancy.
Is that what I said?
That is what you said.
Oh, man, I'm so stupid.
I was like, okay, I guess you really like this stuff. It's kind of your thing.
Yeah, no, it is kind of my thing. I've done it a long time now.
I mean, this has been your whole professional life, basically, right?
Right. So I had, you know, I worked all through high school and college. So I have had other jobs. And in college, I did software development and technical support. But after graduating, I only had one job, and it was 8 months, and then we started Thoughtbot.
Mm-hmm. Not a bad hit rate, I guess.
50-50.
Yeah, if you count 1 8 months and 1 12-year, 150-person company as the same thing, yeah, it's 50-50.
Yeah.
Nice. You're in charge here. You're interviewing. You have to fill these.
I was hoping you were going to take the cue to wrap it up.
Is that why you're giving me the wrap it up thing?
No. So now you're back.
I am.
And you're going to resume hosting the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You've taken back the leadership reins on Upcase, which I was covering for you. And now I'm no longer working on it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see where the next 18 months takes us.
Yeah. We'll check in again later.
Cool. You want to wrap it up?
I do. I think, I think so. So it's giantrobots.fm/136. Oh, I guess you can pull up
Did we change the URL while you were gone?
No, I think it changed before I left.
Okay.
Let me, I haven't opened my podcast notes in so long. All right, so we should. I'm going to wrap it up in my standard wrap-up style, which you haven't heard for a little while. Before we go, do you have anything you want to plug, Chad? This is in my notes to make sure to ask if you have a plug.
Yeah, I mentioned the other offices that we're opening. We're about to announce our Portland office. We're going to announce it on Monday, right when this podcast comes out. So I'm confident
to
mention it. So if you are in Portland and you're interested in joining ThoughtBot, get in touch.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to thoughtbot.com/jobs. And we have a team of great people already on the ground in Portland and moving to Portland.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe even more importantly, if you're a client who wants to build a great product or needs help making their current product more successful, get in touch at thoughtbot.com.
Awesome. I also have a quick plug. I'm speaking at Bath Ruby, which I believe is March 13th. If it's not that day, it's plus or minus 1 or 2 days. And the speaker lineup looks amazing. Like, I feel like I have to really bring my A game. That's like Tom Stewart speaking, Katrina Owen, another ThoughtBotter. Like, the lineup looks really solid. So if you're going to be in the area, check that out. And let's do it up. Let's wrap it up. Today's show was produced and edited by Tom Obarski. If you'd like to access the show notes for this episode, you can go to giantrobots.fm/136. Thanks for listening. It's good to be back. See you next week.